Here's a question. Do we all have the same least favorite book?
We might.
Wow, I didn't think of that. I think we might.
I think we all do.
On three, let's say our least favorite. Ready? One, two, three.
Welcome to Talking Beasts.
From NarniaWeb.com.
Where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis.
And keep a watchful eye.
On the latest Narnia movie news,
this is Talking Beasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm your host, Rillian.
Jam Band goes second.
No, you go second. It's in the outline.
What? No, I don't.
It said in the outline. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
Oh.
We've already... I messed up in the previous episode with my microphone, and now I've messed up with this one right off the bat. You know what, guys? Night.
No.
Okay.
You're going to suck it up and you're going to do it.
Okay, after all that buildup, I'm Glenn Puddle.
And I'm Jim Fan.
We're back, and we're talking about our favorite and least favorite Narnia books. The Narnia books, of course, have a lot of unifying themes. They have a lot of themes and characters in common and structures in common, but they also are very different from one another. They stand apart in basic plot structure. Like The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, you know, it's a very different type of story in terms of the conflict than the book just before it, Prince Caspian. And, you know, so the conflicts are different, the plots are different, the setting and the mood and just the feel is different. We had a discussion on an episode not too long ago about how The Last Battle is the only book without a dedication. Presumably, possibly, because Lewis thought it was just too dark to have a dedication. Because the books are, again, so short, it's common for readers to read them, and then they'll reread them at a very different stage of life. I experienced them at a very different stage for the first time than where I am now, and I've experienced them at a lot of different stages in between. And so we reread these books at different stages, and so it's natural to have favorite books, and maybe it's even more natural for whatever book is your favorite or least favorite to shift and change over time. And so that's what we're going to talk about on this episode. And you guys, when we're done, feel free to sound off on your thoughts. We've done different polls at different times too. And it's always interesting to see commonalities or differences in polls or even where the polls are placed online. But Glenn Puddle, let's start with you. What is your favorite book? And what is your least favorite Narnia book? And have they changed over time?
Well, maybe we should all start with our favorite, because I think we all have the same favorite, unless I'm quite mistaken. Maybe we should because my favorite is The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Is that not, you guys have that one as well? I know you guys did at some point.
Mine is Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Mine is Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Okay.
Here we go. Here we are. High five. Okay. Yeah, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. My favorite initially was The Silver Chair. Then the second time through, my favorite was The Last Battle. And the third time through, it was Dawn Treader, and it has stayed Dawn Treader ever since. Although occasionally Horace and his boy threatens. So it's weird how that's just totally flipped around. But I've said so much about Dawn Treader on this podcast, about how much I love it, all the reasons I love it. And we did I did a 4-hour... rant about the movie on YouTube, and then did a more kind of carefully structured analysis of it on the podcast. My favorite movie is 2001: A Space Odyssey for similar reasons that Voyage of the Dawn Treader is my favorite book.
There's monkeys everywhere.
It's just all the monkeys, and maybe that's why Last Battle was my favorite.
Sorry.
There's only monkeys. By the way, there's only monkeys for the first 15 minutes, and that is some of the best stuff in the movie, though.
Continue. We'll argue about that later.
When was the last time you watched it? Okay, first off, when was the last time you watched it, and were you eating popcorn? What kind of environment was it? Did you really give the movie a fair chance?
I heard it was a classic.
You always make jokes about this, and I let it go.
And
think this is a discussion for another day, guys.
Let me just say my 10 cents. So I was at home, and I popped in this classic called 2001: A Space Odyssey. I thought, this is weird. It's a bunch of apes running around. I'll fast forward 10 minutes. I fast forward 10 minutes. Huh, that's weird. It's still a bunch of apes. Fast forward like another 45,000 minutes, and it's still this bunch of apes running around. I thought, this is really weird. I have never had a factory, you know, burn the wrong movie, wrong footage onto a, you know, disc for it's another film. And so then I found this. Then of course I got to the part where the giant chocolate bar appears and all, you know, craziness breaks loose. And then I finally got to the cool robot. But and then I'm convinced Stanley Kubrick was on LSD when he wrote the script and directed it.
It's way too coherent. Makes
I was
too
in
much
college
sense.
To answer your first question, and yeah. I was not I eating popcorn. I was trying to absorb a classic.
I'm not saying if you watched it again, you'd love the movie. I do think if you watched it again and gave it a fair shake, you would say, wow, this is a really amazingly well-made movie, and you'd respect a lot of things about it. But it's most definitely not for everybody. People that don't like it have valid reasons for not liking it. But I think
you just don't think his are valid.
No. I'm just saying, if you saw it again, you might not like it. I think you'd respect it a lot more, and that's all I'm going to say. But that movie is so effective at creating that sense of awe about the unknown. In the case of 2001, it's space travel, and it came out the year before we made it to the moon. And there were questions about, man, what kind of turning point in humanity are we coming up on right now? Are we going to have the USS Enterprise in just a few decades? I mean, what does this mean for the future of our species? And wondering, what are we going to find out there? Because there's... So I love the fact that we had never seen the far side of the moon. That gives me chills just to think about that. How many thousands of years humans gazed up at the moon and had not seen the other side of it. And just that sense of the unknown and what might we find, the idea of a complete other world, planet, where you walk around and you're the first to do everything. You knock over a rock, first person to do that. That rock was laying there for thousands of years. That just gives me chills thinking of that. And Don Treader... We're going to these uncharted waters in a magical world. So it could be absolutely anything combined with, we know the seven lords left and never came back. And I love that initial beginning. Well, all we know is they never came back. What happened to them? Anything could have happened to them. And so the Voyage of the Dawn Treader really taps into that curiosity I've always had about space travel and the unknown and what could be out there and what does it mean. And I love the things they learn about the world, like it's suggested that Narnia is flat and the waters, the ocean's endlessly pouring over the edge. And Voyage of the Dawn Treader has been my favorite for a while now. And there's other Narnia books that I think are more well written. I think that just in terms of just writing, I think The Magician's Nephew is probably the most well written in terms of story and dialogue and characterization and themes woven throughout. But Dawn Treader just tickles something so personal in me that I think it's unlikely that that's going to change. And then, do you guys want to talk about Dawn Treader now for a bit, or should we go into my least favorite, or how do you want to do it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I echo a lot about what you say about why I love Dawn Treader. It's a lot of I love the adventurous spirit of it. I think there's some good character moments. I love Eustace. I think he's one of the best things C.S. Lewis ever wrote. So funny and relatable, because I think we all either know someone like Eustace or we've been Eustace, let's be honest. I love it. And there's just, it feels, I love how Dawn Treader expands the reach of Narnia. In some of the other books, you know, you get to go to Arkenland, you get to go to other places, but this takes you, you know, really, it takes you far, far away, you know, all the way to all the way to Aslan's country, essentially. You know, it takes you all the way as far as you can go and just takes you to so many different places, and they have just different adventures and discovering new things about Narnia. And I love that about it. That's probably the reason why I love that book the most. Although I would say that Horse and His Boy also is one of the ones that I love a lot as well. But I would say Dawn Treader every time, just because it's classic, you know, Pevensies and all that fun stuff.
I love Voyage of the Dawn Treader because it's nothing like 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's well done.
Nope.
In all seriousness, I'm just as serious as I was 5 seconds ago. But, you know, I love the adventure of it. They're going out somewhere new. They're it's not, oh, we're here to save the end of the, we're here to, you know, save the world. You know, I love that they're, first of all, the quest is about honor. It's about doing the right thing when you don't have to. You know, life is more comfortable back at Cara Paravel, but they're doing the right thing. They're exploring to the end of the world, the actual end of the world. And it's about Reepy Cheep's dream from when he was in his crib. And I love that story. I love the character of Reepy Cheep. He and the character of Peter are probably tied as my favorite characters. And Reepy Cheep, what I love about his character, he embodies so much of, there's so much good about his character that is not embodied in modern culture today. And I love that. I love his character.
I tear up. I just tear up thinking about Reepy Cheep.
I love that. I think it's very episodic. It's very episodic. It's an odyssey. I love the Voyage of the Dawn Treader for all those reasons.
An ocean odyssey.
there you go. So at least I will agree with you. It's an odyssey.
We know that much.
But no, I think it became my favorite book maybe in around college. So that would be, oh my goodness, 12 years ago.
Yeah, I was back before the original Narnia films had finished.
Maybe
up.
Maybe 13 years ago.
Old, you guys.
So yeah, I think that's about when it became my favorite, because I kind of re-experienced the Chronicles of Narnia, where I read them as a trilogy, where I read, you know, the first three, I thought, oh my goodness, these work so well as a trilogy. And I love the completeness of Voyage of the Dawn Treader. But how about, you said your first...
Well, could I add one quick thing?
Yes.
I was just thinking about, I love the fact that Dawn Treader, that there's, yes, there's, they're trying to find the Seven Lords, and that's their main mission. But that's really just there to get the voyage underway. It's a movie, we've been using the word explore and adventure. The plot of Dawn Treader, it really allows the characters to take a look around, and we really think about, well, what does this mean? Like, when Eustace gets turned into a dragon, we're not thinking, well, gosh, when are we going to get on with the plot to the Seven Lords?
Right.
We're really just in that, well, what does this mean for Eustace? What are the implications of, okay, why is he a dragon? What does that mean? The greedy dragonist thoughts and the fact that he has to rely on Aslan to get him out of that. And I really appreciate the fact that it's able to do that. So many stories don't have the guts to kind of stop and look around. And I really appreciate that in 2001, A Space Odyssey, it's got this very, very simple plot about this monolith that appears on Earth at the dawn of man. These, you know, caveman monkey things see this object from extraterrestrials and does
giant
it cause them
bar.
To get the... Yeah, it's a monolith. Causes them to maybe get the idea. Is that what gives them the idea to use a weapon to kill? And that is that ability and the idea to kill, is that actually the thing that led to us becoming what we are today? And what does that mean? It's science fiction. I think that's really interesting. That movie 2001 takes the time to look around and let's think about what we're seeing for a second. Let's not just move on with the story. And I love when movies and books do that, and Dawn Treader does that, and it does it very well. And that's why it's my favorite book ever, not just Narnia book.
This bearded man really does love 2001: A Space Odyssey. Jim Phan, when did the Voyage of the Dawn Treader become your favorite?
I think it's always been my favorite. I don't think that's ever changed.
First love.
I've been rereading through the books, and I was actually thinking about this and was like, you know, once I finally get through all the books, will I have found that my favorite has changed? And thus far it has not, but I will keep you updated because I'm actually curious to know, because I haven't finished them all yet.
Tweet us. Play by play. Line by line. Okay, I just got done with this paragraph. I think this isn't my favorite anymore. I want to know the moment it happens.
I will let you know for sure.
Because that won't ruin the experience at all.
So here's a question. Do we all have the same least favorite book?
We might.
Wow, I didn't think of that. I think we might.
I think so, we all do.
On three, let's say our least favorite. Ready? One, two, three.
Prince Caspian.
Oh, man. What a boring podcast.
We can all go home now. Okay, so...
But why? Why is it your least favorite? That's what I want to know, because it might be different for all of us.
Well, why don't you tell me, Jim Phan?
Okay. Just one thing off the top of my head. I don't particularly care for the character of Prince Caspian in Prince Caspian. Like, overall, like, as a, you know, like, as a character and, you know, as he grows and whatever, like, overall, he's fine. But, like, in, like, the moments, he's just this, like, kid and he's not that interesting or cool.
Boo.
And... you know, High King Peter is so much better. So, I mean, what can I say? but, I mean, he get, you know, like, and I think that's one reason why I like Don Treader is because you get to Prince Caspian, you get to know Caspian as a character a lot more. Whereas I feel like in the book, I mean, you do spend a lot of time with him, but, like, he's a kid. Whereas in the Don Treader, he's a bit older. He's, you know, he's not as naive. He's not as whatever. I just think he's a more interesting character in that book.
I really relate to Caspian, just the simplicity of he really wishes the old days could be true. And he's been told all his life that it's all this stuff about Aslan and the four kings and queens and the talking beasts, that's all made up. I really, especially the shock of it, just read Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Okay, let me read the sequel. Well, and just going into this, well, non-magical world, basically, where of the Telmarines. Where they're saying, no, not all that happened. I'm like, yes, it did. Yes, it did. And I relate to Caspian's frustration. And again, just kind of how I imagine how amazing it would be. Like for me, it would be to be able to visit another planet would be the most amazing thing ever. I fantasize about that all the time, just to be able to see something completely else, completely different from anything I've ever dreamed of experiencing. And when Caspian has that experience of meeting his basically his bedtime story characters, I totally connect with what would that be like to actually see your fantasies come to life. So I don't think he's the most nuanced or super developed character, but the very idea of the character, I personally just can't help to relate to.
But we're asking you why is this your least favorite book, not your favorite?
Right. Okay. So we have different reasons. Because, yeah, I love the
character. That's not the only reason. That's probably not even the biggest reason this is not my most favorite. I mean, I like Prince Caspian. It's just, it's a very...
Right. We all love the Prince Caspian book.
Yeah. It's just, we love it less.
Least. Yeah. And that's the way I had to phrase it.
Sure. But I think, why is it my least favorite? I think all the Narnia books really hook me right at the beginning. Like after chapter one, it's like, oh, I'm going to finish this book. Even if I'm rereading it, like I'm so going to finish. But Caspian doesn't hook me initially in the same way. I think it creates some intriguing mystery. Like, man, I still want to keep reading. Like, where's this going? Mm-hmm. And then when Trumpkin shows up, now I'm feeling hooked. For about 6 or 7 pages, I'm hooked. I want to know where the dwarf came from and what does it have to do with them and why were they called Narnia? All of a sudden, I'm filled with questions and I'm so there. And then that flashback starts. And it does take, just as I was so into the story, all of a sudden we go backwards in time to tell the story of Prince Caspian's backstory, which over time becomes interesting in and of itself, but it does take the wind out of the sails of the momentum of the story for me. Ultimately, it pays off when we finally make the connection that, oh, Trumpkin's the one telling the story, and Caspian was the one that blew the horn. It all comes back, and it pays off. But I think just that initial move, cutting away from the main characters, it takes a while for it to kind of recover from that. Whereas I think all the other books, I'm just so there right until the very end.
It's a very slow burn.
Yeah, it's pacing, I think, is for me, because like, the big moments where, oh my goodness, this is Caparaval. I'm excited. And then there's the... oh my goodness, he's fallen in with the Narnians. I'm excited. And then they go on a little ways. And then, they don't believe Lucy. I'm at least interested. You know, there's some really good moments. But I think that, yeah, I agree. The pacing, it doesn't foster the engagement that the other books do. I think it has changed for me because initially my favorite book was The Silver Chair. I think for a lot of the same reasons, because of the mystery, the exploration. I think that the Silver Chair has more of a focus on the end of the quest rather than the in-the-moment experiences that The Voyage of the Dawn Treader has. And it's hard for me to say why one became my favorite and one not the other. I will say that my old least favorite book used to be The Last Battle. That was my least favorite for quite a while, I think because it's so sad. And it takes a while for the story to start becoming uplifting and for things to happen that aren't just frustrating.
Yeah, I think interestingly that might be why, in a way, why that became my favorite the second time around, because I just really enjoy the plot twists in Last Battle, and there things happen that you didn't think could happen in Narnia. I mean, this is book seven. I think I have a pretty good idea of kind of what the rules of the world are, but Schiff does things that I didn't think this could happen in this book series, and I love that feeling of, oh my gosh, then what's going to happen? This is book seven, and I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, when my
so
wife
that's
was
what I responded
my
to
wife
it.
Just finished all of them. Oh my goodness, she's
oh
amazing.
She did she finally finished.
Dude, my
did you
wife,
like it?
She read I think all seven Chronicles of Narnia, all seven Harry Potters, and she's almost done with the Return of the King.
What?
In
but
like
you said
a
that
month.
You said that she read like the first six Narnia books and then like stopped and went somewhere else.
Yeah, she did. So, yeah, she. I think she read all. That's right. I think she read the first six Chronicles of Narnia.
She then she read came all back
seven,
and finished. Now
she read all seven Harry Potters. Then she read.
What'd she think?
The Last Battle. She liked the ending, but she really. And then, she's not at a place where she likes The Last Battle because it's so frustrating in the moment, as you're going through it with things not happy things happening to the main characters. But of course, I keep in mind that, she's in a different place because she's an adult reading it experiencing it for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm being I'm being an uncooperative husband by not giving everything away. So like, well, what happened? Uh-huh. I'm not telling you, you know,
Well, I'm judging her. She's just wrong about certain things.
So, I think her favorite book was actually, The Magician's Nephew. I think it was her favorite book.
A lot of people love that.
And sometimes I wonder sometimes if The Horseman's Boy or The Magician's Nephew is going to dethrone Voyage of the Dawn Treader for me.
Magician's Nephew has started out pretty low on my list for some reason. Maybe it's because I felt like the second or the last third with some of the prequel stuff kind of drags out. But as I've gotten older, as an adult, the Diggory character and what he wants and needs and the idea of wanting to find the land of youth resonates with me more and more. So Magician's Nephew has gone higher and higher up on my list over the years, for sure.
Prince Caspian is a common least favorite. And Voyage of the Dawn Treader is a common favorite. Silver Chair is also usually very high up there. And Magician's Nephew and Horse and His Boy.
The most recent poll we did, which was sometime last year, I think, asking Narnia Webbers, what's your favorite Narnia book? The Horse and His Boy, number one, with 24%. Followed by The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, with 18%. Followed
That's
by
kind
the
of
Magician-
uncommon. To see the Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe that high.
Yeah. Well, really? I think so. I mean, it's the iconic one, the classic one. I think it's usually pretty high from what I've seen. Magician's Nephew, number three. The Silver Chair, number four. Voyage of the Dawn Treader, number five.
Interesting.
So ours, it's pretty low down there. The Last Battle, number six. And then there you go, Prince Caspian at the very bottom.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think we're talking about the Silver Chair. I think the first time through, it is very different from Dawn Treader in that, Dawn Treader, it's got that Seven Lords plot, but that's not really what you're thinking about as you're turning
the
pages.
Not.
Whereas Silver Chair, it's, we got to find Prince Rillian, and the Four Signs is how we do it. We're very focused on the end goal, and then the big emotional but heartbreaking payoff when Caspian dies just after being reunited with his son. I think I enjoy the focus on that plot, the focus on that narrative, and then it's a great emotional payoff at the end. But then, of course, Puddleglum is my all-time favorite character.
I can't imagine why.
Oh, well, you know what? Puddleglum initially seems like such a simple character, almost like a caricature. Oh, he's Eeyore. He's always down on everything. And then the more I read it, the more I think about it, he assumes the worst and then puts a bold face on things. It's not so simple to say, oh, he's a pessimist. You might just as well say he is an optimist. And somehow that's a life coping mechanism I kind of relate to. I don't know if I do that. Maybe I do, but say, well, what's the worst case scenario? Well, hey, the worst that could happen, you most definitely do that. Okay, thank you. What's the worst thing that could happen? Okay, but is that the end of the world? And usually, if I think about what's the worst thing that could happen, the answer is not, it's the end of the world. So, yeah, usually it's not so bad.
And that's the perspective
that's always
you have to take about when your mic doesn't work.
Too soon.
It's not. That's right. If you
too soon.
If you put so much time and energy into this podcast and love it and enjoy doing it and you really want all the technical aspects to be good and you want our listeners to enjoy watching it, not hear the echo of your room, and then you find out that the wrong mic was on, you know, the mic you spent money on, and then you find out that it didn't work. Yeah, it's true. It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. Although if it were the end of the world and the Voids of Dawn Treader, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, true. I mean
that's a book where cool. we like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yes. That like is like one where it's like, is it the end of the world? Yes, yes, it is.
Man, now I want to go to the end of the world just to make that joke. Don't worry, guys, it's not the end of the world. Actually, it is.
It is.
Okay. Well, obviously, listeners, post a comment. Tell us what's your favorite Narnia book, what's your least favorite Narnia book, and how have these things changed over time?
I was hiking in Colorado the other day. I got to say, I tweeted out a picture of the these big boulders, and I thought, I'm walking around thinking, when are the stone giants just going to start throwing rocks at me? Because there's all these huge boulders just lying
giants!
In the grass.
Stone giants!
Yeah, isn't it fun exactly. when you're just, like, traveling and you find something that's like, oh, this reminds me of Narnia. Like, there was this one place in Croatia I found that was these waterfalls, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of the waterfall in the last battle that they all climb up. And it was just,
I was just
like,
thinking
so random,
that.
But it was really pretty.
I saw that. For me, I live in a place where it snows now, even though I grew up in a place where it never snowed. And when I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, oh, at least 80% of the reason it captured my imagination and was so magical was the snow. So for me, like at the right time of year, I walk out my door and I see snow and I'm in Narnia.
Which
to
is
this
what?
Day.
Wait, 6 months, 9 months out of the year now?
Yep, 6 months out of the year, I'm in Narnia.
Oh,
there you go.
Good times.
Plumpuddle's
good
a
times.
Happy camper. He's got Narnia, pizza, and 2001 Space Odyssey on his Blu-ray player.
What more could you ask for?
Voices of Narnia Web. Hi, Talking Beasts. This is Rose, better known as the Rose Tree Dryad. I am from North Carolina, and I'm a forum moderator and a news poster. My first encounter with Narnia was when I was about 10 or 11. I ran across the Chronicles of Narnia in a bookstore, and at that time, I didn't know anyone who was a fan of the books, and I'd never really heard of them, so it was all new to me. I ended up reading The Magician's Nephew and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, specifically in that order, because I had the HarperCollins versions. I am still trying to get over that to this day. Anyway, at the time, having tea with Mr. Tumnus, as well as Aslan's Death and Resurrection, both made a pretty big impression on me, but it wasn't until a few years later that I saw they were making a movie, and that sparked my interest again. I ended up discovering the whole series, and I fell in love with all of the books. Over the years, it seems like my interest in Narnia has snowballed. Every time I read them, I find something new to love or something interesting that I had never noticed before. This series is kind of like Aslan's Country to me. Every time I read it, it seems like it's bigger and better. So, my favorite Narnia book. I have to say, picking a favorite has always been really challenging for me, but if I have to choose, I'm going to go with Prince Caspian. And honestly, that's interesting because we had a poll last month asking what your least favorite Narnia book is, and Prince Caspian won that poll by a significant margin. Frankly, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I probably would have agreed with that. I had always thought the story structure was a little bit weird, and it made it a little hard for me to get into. That said, nowadays, when I really stop and think about it, Prince Caspian probably has the most scenes out of all of the books that really speak to my soul. Growing up, I was always dreaming about ancient places and hidden wonders, and I was always on the lookout for fairies and mystical creatures. And if I'm telling the truth, I have had many conversations with trees in my lifetime. So this story ticks a lot of boxes for me. I can really identify with Caspian and Lucy and their longing for the old days of Narnia. So yeah, if picking a favorite book is really hard, picking a favorite character isn't much easier for me. Of all the characters in the books, I'd say I identify the most with Caspian's personality, but he's not my favorite character. Among the adult characters, I really like Tyrion and Reepicheep and Puddleglum, but if I'm picking just one, I think I would have to go with Aslan. I feel like Lewis did almost the impossible in crafting that character. As for my favorite among the kids, I've always loved Shasta. Maybe it's because he's kind of an underdog, but it's also because he grew up with almost nothing and he didn't have any good role models. And yet somehow he still has a really good heart and he shows amazing heroism at the end of the book. Well, that's about all for my Voice of Narnia Web, but I've got a couple things I want to share with you guys before I sign off. We're continuing to accept submissions for this segment, so feel free to introduce yourself to the listeners by sharing how you encountered Narnia, your favorite book, and your favorite character. In addition to that, though, we also want to offer a bonus question for Talking Beast to answer. This is open to new or previous Voices of Narnia Web. We want to hear from everybody. So, in light of the recent news about Narnia on Netflix, here's the bonus question. What would you like to say to Netflix right now? If you had all of the producers and writers together in a room, what would you tell them? What do they need to know in order to make a great adaptation of the Chronicles of Narnia? This is a great time to make our voices heard and let the filmmakers know what fans want. So, hit the record button, share your thoughts, and send your voice to the email address in the episode description, and you might be featured on Talking Beasts. All right, thanks for listening, guys. Further up and further in.
You've been listening to Talking Beasts, a NarniaWeb.com podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. And be sure to subscribe and post a comment below, or in the Talking Beasts Facebook group. You can email us at podcast@NarniaWeb.com, Rillian@NarniaWeb.com, JimFan15@NarniaWeb.com, or Glumpuddle@NarniaWeb.com. Special thanks to the rest of our podcast team, AJ Aiken, Ryidian, and the Rose Tree Dryad. For the latest Narnia movie news, visit NarniaWeb.com. A new episode of Talking Beasts is posted on the 7th and 17th of every month. We'll be back on November 7th. Until then, further up and further in.